Day. Who was here last Sunday morning with Benjamin Francis? Who was here last Sunday evening with Benjamin Francis? Who was blown away by that man? Who's still trying to recover now from it? Benjamin Francis was here last week and he was talking. He was a director for mission, one of the directors for mission in India for BMS World Mission, and we're going to Calcutta with him in a few months, a few weeks' time, I think it is now, isn't it? I better put that. 3 weeks, really. I better get ready. So basically, we're going there, and he shared lots of stories about the gospel and about his personal stories about how they've changed lives. I want to ask you, just for a few moments, to think of a story. I want you to think of some good news story. I want you to think of a good news story in your head, okay? Start doing it. And in a minute, I want you to tell me that story just in one line and how long ago it was. Okay, so I want you to tell me a good news story, and I want you to tell me in one line what it was, and in one line how long ago it was. Okay, you've got 10 seconds to think. Some of you need longer, but we haven't got it today. Just 10 seconds. Okay, a good news story, and when did it happen? It can be anything, you know. It could be like Norma Hood made the staff ginger cake this week. That's a good news story. It happened on Thursday. And the cake was finished by Thursday. It's a good news story. I don't know if I shared it. Did I share it? I don't think I did. Half a slice to them both each. And then the rest, half a slice somewhere else. Right, tell me, shout out loud. Who's going to start? A good news story, and when did that happen?
My cousin Liam baptized.
Great. And when did that happen? Perfecto. Yep. Good. That's a good story. That's a good story. Another one. Come on. Yeah, Wednesday. Is it good news? It's good news. Is it good news? We got him back into the Baptist. Are you proud of me? Thank you. They go to Baptist Church in Hatfield. Any other news?
We get our keys on Friday.
That's a good news story, but that's also a miracle. We believe in miracles in this church. Amen. We still do. Great. Another story. Another good news story. Yeah, absolutely. Life group prayed for Arthur. Hardly any of them knew Arthur. Stood around his bed and had an amazing spiritual encounter. And then the next day he just gracefully went to be with the Lord. That's a great story. Absolutely. And thank you for doing that. Another good news story. Come on. Yes. Amen. That's a good news story, isn't it? Yeah, you can clap. Another one. We might have one later. Crystal Palace might win, but go on. Great. Yeah, that's a good news story. An open conversation that happened just this morning. Another good news. Two more. Yeah. Sorry? That's a good news story. That's a good news story. I'm pleased by that. Faye? Yeah, your children gave their heart to Jesus. It happened last March. That's a good news story. That deserves a clap. I'm sorry, but no point praying for children at dedications if you don't rejoice when they become Christians. Do you get the link? Okay, one more. What about from the balcony? Some of you in the balcony don't look very happy today. Are you all out there? It's not so bad being in church. Okay, a good news story up there. Any? If not, I'll float down here. But I don't want to. Oh my goodness, we've got three now. Okay, one.
My friend was healed.
That's a good news story. Great. Sorry? That's a good news story. Dad gave his life to the Lord the day before he died. That's a good news story. Well, last one. Yeah. Go on. Yeah, 5 months free for alcohol and other stuff. That's a good news story. You know what? Today's a new day. And last week, Benjamin Francis was here, and that wasn't by surprise. The Lord knew about it, we just didn't. And so we quickly arranged for him to come. And last week he told stories and stories and stories and stories and even more stories about what? About his story. But within his story was the gospel. Within his story was the gospel. And what I want us to do this morning, just before next week, Daniel will be preaching after his induction. And then we'll start a new series on spiritual gifts. But this morning, I was just saying to the Lord, Lord, what would it be that you would want me to say? We're going to share communion soon. I've got to not forget that. Don't let me forget, Jonathan. But actually, I want to just share with you something I think God's put on my heart. And it's from Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And before we do that, I just want to tell you a little story that I came across. This story is about, it's from America, but it's okay. It says this, in communications, on a busy Friday night at a restaurant where my friend was working, waiting the tables, the owner suddenly emerged from the kitchen, handed him some money. "We're in trouble," he said. "We're out of quarters." Now, in America, quarters are 25 cents or 25p, yeah? "We're out of quarters," that's all he said, "and customers are waiting. Go next door and get me $40 worth of quarters." So Cliff ran to the supermarket next door, but the cashier said they wasn't allowed to give him any more quarters. So then he sprinted to the other convenience store two blocks away, but it was closed. And then he ran again to the gas station further down the road. And the lady then took pity on him and gave him four rolls of quarters. 20 minutes after he had left, he ran back and he put the coins on the desk. And the owner of the restaurant said to him, "Where are the quarters that I asked you for?" He said, "Right here." His face sunk. He said, "I didn't mean quarters like that. I meant chicken quarters." Well, the boss thought he had communicated clearly, but clearly he didn't. Misunderstanding of communicating the wrong message means that people in our generation may never come to salvation in Jesus. Martin, come and read God's word to us.
It's from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. "Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse."
Thank you, Martin. I've already said it, but today's a new day in the life of our church. Daniel and Christina are among us, And in their title for community and discipleship, we understand that in the coming days, we may see new expressions of how we connect with people, the gospel. And so put the slide up if you can. I want to talk today about there's no other gospel but the gospel. And actually, you know, we might do some new things. I think we might in the coming days, in the coming years, and the coming months. But actually, one thing that we must never do is change the gospel. You know, yes, we may do different expressions. We may connect with people that we've never connected for. We might kick footballs with them. We might drink beer with them in the Red Door. We might meet them in a pizza restaurant. We might do it in a school. We might do it in this location. We may do it in other locations in our area. But one thing we must never do is change the gospel. And actually, if you can look in generations upon generations upon generations, you can clearly see at times that people have changed this thing called the gospel. They've changed it so it just feels a bit more liberating. It's a lot easier to get people to understand. It's a lot easier to get people in. And clearly we see in this text three things that I want us to focus on today, just briefly. And we call ourselves an evangelical church, which means that we are a church that needs to declare the gospel and do that in a way that is relevant and wholehearted. I was at a wedding yesterday, as you know, and we sang at this wedding the Nicene Creed into a song. I think it's a Hillsong song. I would like to sing that Hillsong-y song. Keith, where are you? I'd like to sing that here. But it was really great because we were able to sing what we believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe that he sent his son. I believe that he died. I believe he rose again. And as I was singing that song, at this point I was a lot more, I wasn't hyperventilating. It was halfway through the service. We were friends again, because you can't be at wedding service and not be friends, can you, darling? Well, we could, darling, but come on. So as we were singing that song together, and with the people surrounding me, it was just, again, really helpful for me yesterday to sing that song. Because when was the last time I declared that? When was the last time I sung the creed? Nicene Creed. We don't tend to do it often in our form of church, but that's not to say that it's not important, it's not good, because it says what we believe in. And actually, over generations upon generations, some churches have gone away from that and some churches have come closer to that. And it's really interesting because in this modern day and age where, you know, you hear many people, you see many people write about it, many people talk about it, and some will say, you know what, we've got to keep it tight because the gospel is the gospel. And just allow the power of God to bring salvation to people. And then you see other people say, well, no, we've got to just got to let it be a bit more loose. Let it be a bit more loose and let it be a bit more open and just make people feel a bit more comfortable. And as I've read that and looked at that, I see those churches that have kept clearly defined to the gospel, I see revival happening. And for those who've gone a little bit, you know, well, you know, we can just compromise a little bit, I haven't personally seen as much of God in that. And I want us to be a church where no matter how we express it, we declare the only gospel that there is. See, we're not called to change the gospel. We're not used to mess with the gospel. The gospel is changeless. The gospel is what it is. And here, if we see in verse 3 to 5, there's utter delight. Open your Bibles, but it should be up as well. It says here in verse 3, grace and peace to you from the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. You see, that's there, declaring that the gospel is there. It's clear what the gospel is. It's God's grace being lavished upon us to forgive us for the things that we've not done when we come to a place of repentance in Jesus. The very first word there is grace, and it's the most important word. It was the best word. So much so that God's favor and grace and peace will walk with Christ and us if we allow it to. We walk totally dependent on a God through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But Paul is saying there in those first couple of verses here that we are a subject of a rescue operation. For it is through the cross, which we're going to celebrate in a minute through communion, that we have been rescued from our sins and forgiven by God and being given glorious freedom in him. At the same way, Paul says to us, I want you to recognize that there's a power of the evil one as well, who will somehow try and take that away from us, change our mind and influence us in different things. But here it says, just in those first couple of verses, that grace and peace has been given to you from God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave himself for us and rescued us. That is the gospel, that when we were sinners, Jesus died in our place to give us life here on earth and for eternity. Simple. The most simplistic thing. And just a few moments ago, I asked you to tell me some good news. And when it happened, it was very interesting. We had a real mixture there. We had some stories and some elements of God. But actually the best news, the good news, the greatest news that we should ever declare and rejoice in is the good news of Jesus. And I pray, and I trust that you pray alongside me, that in the coming days, in the coming months, in the coming years, in this place and in our other locations, wherever they will be, that we will start to hear lots more stories, lots more good stories. But they're good stories because they've been transformed, people have been transformed by the good news, which is Jesus Christ. The most powerful story that I have in my arm, in my armor, is the gospel. The most powerful story that I have is what Jesus has done in my life and how he's changed me. Now, some of you in this place think I'm a rascal. You wanted to see me before I came to know Jesus. I was even worse. But actually, the greatest thing is that for each and every one of us in this room who have declared Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, who have understood the gospel and allowed the gospel to transform us, there surely this morning must be great delight in our souls. But actually, share a good story. And I hear lots of good stories. And I said just a few weeks ago, last week to Benjamin Francis on this very platform, I rejoice, Benjamin, in the Francis of India. I rejoice in the stories from South America. I heard some great stories from South America just this week when I phoned up the church in Cusco. Wow! I'll tell him about them. Not now, because we've got to carry on. But actually, just some good stories of what God has done. But actually, the most important story is Jesus. And how often do you and I delight in that, and how often do we share the good news? There is no other gospel. There is no other gospel. Second point is this, in verse 6 to 7, I just saw the time, that's why we just chunked out this. Let's move on. It says there in verse 6 to 7, I want to call this the distance. Because what happens in verse 6 to 7, I am astonished that you so quickly deserted from the one who called you by grace of Jesus Christ and are turned into a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to prevent the gospel of Christ. Here in this story, we clearly see that just a few words that we start to see that some people are dissenting. They've understood the gospel, but then they're now walking away from the gospel. Just in a few moments in that passage, from those who said yes to Jesus, they delighted in that, but yet then they had started to have a distance between themselves and God. We see that clearly in this passage. We haven't got time to dive into it massively this morning, but we clearly see in this passage that Paul then says, I'm astonished how quickly the one who called you by grace, Jesus Christ, you're turning away from him and going towards other things. Really interesting how quickly that happened. And why did that happen? There's lots of reasons why, and there's loads here, but I'm not going to share them all this morning. But actually, there's lots of reasons to say that people just suddenly turned, received Jesus and the good news of it, delighted in it, but then they distanced themselves because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. There were some of them that were persuaded otherwise not to believe in what they had heard. Because obviously, when people come believers and come to know Jesus, there's other people that say, well, actually, that's false. That's not true. There's always a sense that people want to take people away from that. We might say it like this, I'm amazed, I'm shocked, I'm stunned that you have so quickly turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. So quickly, even before the gospel had time to lose its freshness, you had started looking around for something else. And it is not so much a matter about they were running away from Paul, but actually they were running away from the one who had saved them, God himself. We only need to look at church history about the amount of people that come to a church and run away from a church. Even in our community, as we meet as local clergy, we all will say, well, have you got that person now? Well, I had them last month. Now they'll probably go to me next month. You know, it just generally happens in churches. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right. And I try, if people are going to leave our church, I try and get them to address the issues before they go, because nobody else deserves people who haven't been able to deal with some of the things they need to deal with. But you see here, first of all, we see that there's no other gospel. They receive the gospel, they delight in the gospel, but then distance starts to creep in away from what they first understood. They received grace. They had received forgiveness. But Paul was amazed and shocked and stunned. So how quickly they turned traitor to him, to God, the one who grace had already been given to them. Do you see that? And it's not so much from Paul, but it's from God. And actually, you know what? They were not just turning from the doctrine or an idea. They were turning from God's call and God's favor. And you and I know people who have come to know God and come to know the gospel, but we haven't seen them for a long time. Now, there's a responsibility there that we have to bear. Yesterday, I was at this wedding of this young man who I was his youth pastor when he was 13, and there he is getting married. I'm thinking, that's not right, but it is right. He actually prayed for me at my induction service. You remember a guy here with a black beard, a young boy, a young lad? But I sat there yesterday, and because this is my nature again, on the way home, I thought, Lord, what about those people that, where are they now with the Lord? Where are they now? Are they those who I know that are far from God? And as I was thinking about that, I obviously thought about that yesterday, but there was a guy there yesterday who was at the service, one of my young people too back then. And I just put my arm around him at the end of the service, and we'll call him Dave for the purpose of today. And I put my arm around him, and I said to Dave, Dave, you're distant from God at the moment. I know you are, because I sense in my spirit you are. The message of the prodigal son needs to be prayed over your life today, Dave. Just come back to God. Dave looked at me and said, how do you know that? I said, is it true? He said, it is. But who told you? I said, nobody told me but God. And I was able just to pray with him. I said, can I pray with you? He said, I can't tell you. You can't pray with me. The things that we've journeyed through life together, when I smashed a window or it was in detention at school and he didn't tell my parents, he said, how can I not pray with you? And we prayed together, and I pray that in the coming days the distance with him and Jesus will come closer. But you see, he knew the grace and delighted in it, but distance came, the same as these people. But Isaiah also says, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship of one is made up of the rules that are taught by men. You see, the gospel is the gospel. But when people come to faith, there is no other gospel, but people will try and tell them that there is. That's even evident in our world today. For example, Hinduism tells us that the religion of Hinduism tells us that actually there's a different way. Buddhism sets 8 key principles which a man needs to walk by so he can be saved. Judaism says you've got to do a law to keep being saved. Islam says that you've got to go and pray 5 a day and give alms and fast on the month of Ramadan. All these are about works. But sometimes people come to faith in Jesus and delight in that, but people tell them of another gospel which they listen to. But these gospels are about work. And the gospel that we know is not about works, it's about grace and love. Unitarianism say that they're having a good character saves a man. Modern humanism says salvation is by service to mankind. In every case, salvation is achieved by something we have to do. And you and I know that there are many people that may have once heard and delighted in the gospel of Jesus, but have turned away from it because they've been distracted. And you and I have a responsibility to actually make sure that that distance is shorter than it used to be. Let me just jump on to the last point. Maybe these weren't right to say. The last point is this, number 3, in denial. And verse 7-9 speaks about denial. But even if we're an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say it again. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you've accepted, let him be eternally condemned. You know, there's a strong message there. That actually don't hear another gospel. There is only one true gospel. And that is the gospel which I spoke about just a few moments ago, that even though we didn't deserve it, Father God sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross to forgive you and I for our sins. And forgiveness that God offers to us is eternal forgiveness. It's forgiveness every time. It's not what we have in churches and in other parts of the world where we don't always forgive as Christ forgave us. But actually it goes on to say, you know, if you hear other things, don't be deceived by them. Don't be deceived by them. Don't be challenged by them. Don't allow them to take you away from the thing that you need to hear. Because all those other things that I just shared about a few moments ago, they are all about works, but God is all about grace and love and forgiveness and hope. So how does Galatians 1, chapter 3 to 9 work out for us? There'll be some of us in this room that we have once delighted in the gospel, the only gospel. But actually our distance between that, between ourselves and Jesus now is a substantial gap. Yeah, we come to church. Anybody can come to church. And there might be some of us today that I want to say to you clearly that once you've delighted in that gospel, actually at the moment, your distance between the truth of that gospel and your life is different. And for those of you who need to hear that message, I want to say to you the same that I prayed with my friend Dave yesterday, that you would know the truth of God, and we see it clearly in that parable. Well, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how far you've been away from him, it doesn't matter how long you've been away from him, the good news is that you can come back to him. There'll be some of us, and I found this really quite profound in South America, where I was a pastor for many years, is in that culture, there was a sense that you could have a bit of everything in that culture, in Peru. They used to say there was a Trinitarian God in Peru, in South America. It wasn't Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was Jesus, Mary, and Pachamama. Jesus obviously being Jesus, Mary being the Catholic denomination, Catholic Church, and Pachamama being the earth God. And so a lot of people there would say, well, I'm cool, you know, I've got all my bases covered. And when I would speak to them about the Trinitarian God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they would often come back to me and say, well, no, I'm okay. I'll go to the fields and I'll worship Pachamama and I'll look at the coca leaves and I'll find out if my crops are going to be good. Then on the way back, I'll go to the Catholic Church and I'll go and speak to the Father because I can't speak to God himself. And I'll go and speak to Mary and I'll have my beads. And then actually on the way, when I get back up into the city at 6 o'clock in the evening, I'll come and worship Jesus as well, Pastor Scott, because you've invited me to. And there's a sense that there was such a confusion for those people. And we found as we pastored the church, we had those people in our church with that confusion. And it wasn't until they fully understood the totality, the completeness of the gospel, that Jesus is both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's grace and love and forgiveness for eternity. It wasn't until they realized that we saw these people just go wild and crazy for Jesus. And that's some of the stories I'll tell you about. Maybe I'll write you all an email of what's been happening this week there. But it's the same for us as well. It's the same for us. We can delight in the gospel, but we can keep our distance from the gospel. But actually, as we keep our distance from the gospel, we can deny and have denial about the things of the gospel that we don't want to hear as well. Can we not? There's parts of the gospel we want to accept and there's parts we don't want to accept. There's parts that we are quite happy to live by and there's parts that we don't want to live by. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We're quite happy to receive forgiveness and wholeness and life and all of that wonderful stuff. But actually when it says deny the cross and deny yourself, your selfish desires, pick up the cross and follow me, then ooh, the gospel seems a little bit harder to do. And we're all guilty of that at times. We're all guilty of that at times. We're all guilty of living the gospel in some aspects of our life, but not living it in other aspects of our life. We might not have other religions, as I described just a few moments ago, but we've all still got other religions. They're called Facebook. They're called Lakeside. They're called lavishing on food. We've got them. They've just got different names. And I'm not saying that they're wrong, But actually, they become the gospel in our life, the most important thing in our life, then actually I do have to say to you, I think they are wrong if they become the most important thing in our life. They're not wrong to do occasionally, but they're wrong if we do them, and that's our gospel. When I read the Facebook posts of church members in our church, I see loads of stuff. A part of me wants to say, Lord, why can't I see some more gospel evidence in these posts? Talking to myself too. Not just you. So actually, we may not get confused with other religions like they did here in Galatians, but we do get confused with other pulls in our lives that takes us away from the only gospel, the true gospel. And if we get taken away from that in our own life, then how can we clearly declare the gospel? Does this make sense? For some. If we get so confused by the distance and the denial that we sometimes allow in our own lives, how can we then clearly proclaim the gospel? And I go back to where I started. In the coming days, I pray, I hope. I've had some crazy dreams these last few days about stuff in the future. And I quite like to sleep, Lord. But hey, if these things are true, then I'd quite like to have some more of what he's trying to show me. We could so easily, by our lifestyles, by our words, by our actions, for some of us, by our Facebook posts, we can so easily declare a different gospel than the one that's in this. We can. I can. At least I'm grown up about it, to be honest and admit it. If you don't want to, that's fine. But actually, the gospel, in its rawest form, in its purest form, which is the thing that we need to declare and proclaim to a world that needs to know it in the coming days, in different ways and shapes and forms, is that you were once a sinner. And there's a world outside of people that are still sinners. But we don't live in a world where there's no hope. The world tells us that there's no hope. Well, let them tell us that, because it's not what I believe. Because I believe in this. So you were once sinners, and there's a world outside church that are still sinners. Unless we proclaim the true gospel, both in word and actions and life, how will they come to understand the true living relationship with Jesus? That's a big challenge. That's a hard challenge for me, and it might be a hard challenge for you. You ever been in a conversation where you've had a chat with somebody and you tell them the gospel and they say, well, I don't quite like that part. And sometimes you find yourself compromising, going back a little bit. Well, you don't worry about that yet. We'll talk about that later. I remember once speaking to a guy called Pablo. And Pablo, I told Pablo about the gospel. And he said, but you've missed all the really difficult bits out of it. I said, yeah, but we can talk about those later. He said, don't mess about with me. If you're going to tell me the gospel, tell me it now and tell me the whole story. So then I said, well, actually, Jesus loves you and forgives you and wants to give you newness of life and all the rest of it. But actually, he's going to demand everything from you. He said, now you're talking. He said, because they taught me that at school. But you weren't going to tell me that part? You wanted me to sign up for something which you weren't going to tell me the whole story? Pablo, on a bench, with his, I remember it fondly, with his two really annoying dogs. He said to me, don't tell me only part of the gospel. You call yourself a man of the gospel. You call yourself a man of the church. And you're only telling me part of it? I was going to say, well, it's my Spanish. My Spanish is rubbish. I can't, you know. But I didn't even go there. I just said to him, you know what, Pablo, I'm really sorry. Let me tell you the whole thing. Jesus loves you, forgives you, wants to give you new life. But as you give your life to Jesus, it means that Jesus will use you and call you. And he'll demand something different of you for the sake of the gospel. He said, now we can have a talk then. Do you know where Pablo is now? Pablo's serving in a church in Argentina. He's not trained as a pastor, but he's serving in a church in Argentina just outside Buenos Aires. I heard that this week. And in his first month of this church, he's seen, you know, I think it's about 47 people come to faith, and I'm sure that he's going to see many more. And I tell you that story to say that sometimes we don't tell the whole story. But God says, there's no other gospel. Tell my people, because God's people are everybody. Tell my people the gospel and believe that I have the power to do the rest. So in closing, I want to say to you today, let us be delighted in the gospel. Let us not allow a distance to be in the way of us living the gospel and sharing the gospel. Let us not deny Jesus, in a sense, when we try and compromise the gospel, but let us just be true with it. Because you know what? Honesty and integrity, I think the world still wants to see. And I think if we share the gospel honestly and with integrity, I think God will be honored and God will be glorified and people will listen. So I want to say to us this morning, we might do it in the coming months in different ways, but there's no other gospel apart from the gospel. And are you willing to share that? Are you willing to declare some good news to somebody today and tomorrow and the next day? Does your life and does my life reflect more of the world and less of Jesus, or more of Jesus and less of the world? Often try and find with my parents, you know, if I say things that I shouldn't say at times, my dad always catches me, son, you shouldn't say that in your job. He always keeps a little eye on me. But if I was to come and look at your life today, and you come and look at mine if you want, how much does it reflect the true gospel? How much do I reflect it, but how much do I live it, and how much do I share it? And if the answer is I don't really reflect it that much, can I ask you this morning just to ask God to help you do that better? Because God, through his Spirit living with us, is the tool he wants to use for us to share the gospel. The only thing, they don't realize it, but the only thing that is going to save the people that you know and I know who don't know Jesus is Jesus. But if we're true to the gospel in our presenting of it, in our witness of it, in the way that we live it, there's a better opportunity for people to see it. We're going to come to communion table. But before we do that, I was on holiday just a few weeks ago. And I met this couple with two girls. One of them just broke her arm just a few weeks ago. And we met them by the swimming pool. You know what he did? Morning. And after a few days, we sat there and we started to chat. And she came up to me. I realized now that she's a Buddhist. And she likes hot yoga, whatever that is. I haven't worked out what that is yet. Some of you might know, but sounds a bit too hot for me. And she walked, and I sat down the next day, and she said, I hope you don't mind me saying, but I've seen how you play with your children and how you speak to your wife. On a good day, this was. Yeah, not yesterday. I see how you speak to your wife, and my children have lost their ball, and you've thrown it back to them, and when our daughter slipped the other day, your wife just picked her up and helped her and brought her back to us. And she said, I've just seen how you've been living, she says. And she says, I'm quite a spiritual lady myself. I said, well, that's good. And she said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, and I used the whole J. John thing. You know that thing? You know, have you ever heard that video of J. John? Well, I work for an organization that's in every location all around the world, I said to her. And she went, well, I thought you were an executive. I thought, oh, hey, up. She said, what sort of work is it? I said, well, it's clinics and it's orphanages and it's hospital and it's helping people. And she's like, oh. But before I said that, there was a long conversation where she tried to guess it. And one of the things she said to me, she said, are you in the adult entertainment? I said, it couldn't be any further away from that. And she said, oh, well, you must be a vicar. And I said, I am. And she said, I knew that. in my spirit. And we further on the conversation. She lives in Farnham, and she might listen to one of these one day, but she wouldn't mind me saying it. And she lives in Farnham, and she says, "Well, I went to the Baptist church just a while ago, and my kids went to a holiday club, and I was so amazed at how much they cared for my kids and loved them, and I was late, and they didn't shout at me and give me a little slip like the other clubs do, and they were so kind to me." And she said, "I knew there was something about you." So the next couple of nights, we just drank gin and tonics together, if that's all right. They were massive, actually, like goblets. I bought our goblet back just for those after those church meetings, you know. And I'm only joking, kind of. And we had this conversation. She said, we're not married yet, you know. We probably want to get married. And could you talk to us about marriage from a Christian perspective? You know, I'm a Buddhist. And they wrote to me just last week. And her daughter had an operation on her arm and broke her arm. And Angela and I sent her a message. And we said, "We're praying for you." And she said, "You know what? When you sent that message to me, as soon as I got that message, I just had a sense of real peace about me that I've never experienced before." I'm like, "Come on, Lord." But the conversation will continue with her. I'll tell you how it gets on. But the only thing I want to say is that on that week of holiday, and the same for you, I trust, all I was trying to do was just live a life by the one who's called me. Why did I pick up a daughter, and why did I say good morning, and why was I kind to them? Not because I'm just a naturally kind and generous and nice person. No, it's because Jesus lives within me. And when Jesus lives within me and lives within you, often we can just reflect the gospel. And then when God gives us opportunity, let's proclaim the gospel. Church, we're going to come and eat this bread and wine now, and invite the worship band up, you know. Where are you? Come, wherever you are. We're going to just sing a song as we lead into it. But you know what? I want you to come to this table today. And if our children come in a minute, because they finish at 12 while we're eating communion, do you know what? That's okay, church. Let them come in. Don't. Just let them come in and sit with us. But how fitting it is that we're going to come to this table today. It's just a table. It's quite an important table. You're not allowed to sit on this table. Daniel. Christina. I did once. But actually, the reality is that it is just a table. Doesn't matter if it was a trestle table, actually. And the tablecloth, just the tablecloth. Nice as it is, Brenda Taylor, but it's just a tablecloth. And the bread is, it's bread, but there's better bread. And the juice is just juice, and it's not the most amazing juice you'll ever have. But actually, what this symbolizes is the most amazing thing that I've ever received and that I've ever had. Because this table speaks about how Jesus' body was broken on a cross at Calvary, the gospel, to demonstrate to you and I how much he loves us and how much he wants a relationship with us and how much he forgives us. And that's pretty impressive. And that cup speaks about how his blood, see, God only had one son, and he sacrificed that son for us. I've got one son. I'm eternally grateful for God for that sacrifice. His only son, he said, "I'm going to sacrifice him, and blood's going to pour from his body." And that again is going to demonstrate to you the gospel and how much I love you. And so Jesus says, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, would you remember me? Would you remember me again, and would you testify to me? But also it says, would you live for me? It's a really great book, which is it's a bit of a deep, heavy book. It's by John Colwell, who taught us to, but didn't teach you, has he done? He's left. And it speaks about the sacrament, of how it's such a profound thing in our churches, and it is. But he speaks in the only two lines that I understood. Daniel may have understood more, but just the two lines that I understood was this, that when we come to the table, each and every time we come to the table, Jesus himself wants to encounter us and take us away different than the way we came. So we're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to invite the people who are serving, come and join me. And we're going to serve you communion today. When you receive the bread, I'm going to ask you to eat it. Don't just take a little bit, just take a nice bit. Eat it and enjoy the goodness that God has given to you today by sending his only son to die in your place and rejoice in that. And then once you receive the cups, just hold on to those cups and we're going to drink together. But I don't think I need to say any more because I've already said enough. But this is the good news. This is the good news. This is the gospel. So let us eat this meal today. Let us be replenished by God. Let us be equipped by him, both through his word and his feeling. And through his spirit live within us, let us then go out and not be shy about the gospel. Not to change it in any way, shape or form, but to live it and be expected that as we live it, God will be glorified and people, more importantly, will come to know Jesus in it. Who's that guy who I spoke to in Peru? What was his name? Remember his name? Pablo. I nearly gave Pablo half measures. Scott. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing, and as we sing, servers, come and join me.